This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Eyre.
Hello,
Bridget. Hey, we want to thank everybody that jumped on board last week. Last week was Giving Tuesday Now, which is a coronavirus version of the Giving Tuesday following Thanksgiving, but something was put together to help charities and not-for-profits like Catholic Radio raise some much-needed funds, and that was last Tuesday. So if you were one of the people that helped us out during that by making a contribution, we definitely want to thank you for that. If you didn't know that was going on and didn't have the chance to make a donation that day, you can do it any day you want to at CatholicRadioIndy.org. CatholicRadioIndy.org. Or you can just give us a call here at 317-870-8400, and we can help you get set up on some kind of a program that you might like, a one-time gift or an ongoing gift, whatever you might like to do. Our number again is 317-870-8400.
Yeah, and if you haven't had a chance, I know a lot of people have been online these days with the shutdown and everything, but if you haven't had a chance to go to the official Catholic Radio Indy Facebook page, we are there. We do have close to 1,000 followers there, and we do try to push out some of our shows on podcast there, so that's another good way to stay in touch with us online. So you just go to the official Catholic Radio Facebook page and like us there, and you'll get all of our information. Today we've got a very interesting topic. It's a bit of a downer topic, but it's something that I do think that we need to talk about from time to time, and that is pornography addiction. And we're going to be looking at it, obviously kind of getting an overview of it, but also kind of getting a little bit of a Catholic perspective on this. And our guest to talk about this topic is counselor with the Psychological Services, Central Psychological Services in Indianapolis. Our guest is Jonathan Chambly. So welcome to Faith in Action, Jonathan.
Thank you for having me.
And Jonathan and I actually worked together at Our Lady of Mount Carmel in youth ministry back in the day, but you have moved on quite a bit from what 20 years ago I think that was about. Tell us a little bit about your background, your family, home parish, the practice, the work that you do.
Okay. Well, after I graduated with the BA in theology, I spent some time as the youth minister for Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And thank you for your help in getting started with that, Bridget. I do appreciate that. And then also attained a master's in theology, and then recently a master's in social work. I've worked for the church as both a director of religious education and a youth minister for about 13 years, and currently working as a counselor with Central Psychological Services. We are a practice of counselors and therapists that we're all Catholic. And being able to incorporate the faith into the therapy sessions as much or as little as the client would like is something that we are able to do. On a side note, if you don't mind, my days as a youth minister, or days as a director of religious education, kind of pointed out the important work that Catholic Radio does. I don't know if I ever told you this, Bridget, but we had someone joined the church because the radio in their car was broken, and the only station they could get was Catholic Radio, and that was it. So every time she turned on the radio, it was Catholic Radio in her car, and she felt God was telling her something, so she became Catholic. So you guys do very good work.
That's a great story. That's a great story. I love it.
We do hear those stories from time to time, and it's really, really awesome to hear that. So thanks so much for sharing that with us, Jonathan. And I do know, I kind of just know, because we kind of travel in the same social circles, that you had, in your work in youth ministry, you had realized that a lot of, especially men, young men, were having problems with pornography, and I think maybe even your life in your former ministry kind of catapulted you to want to go into this and help people get free from pornography. Was that a fair assessment of what happened, or tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. We were at a kind of an eye-opening moment for me was when we were at a junior-senior retreat, and this was a voluntary retreat of juniors and seniors in high school, guys. And it was, these are juniors and seniors that were trying to take their faith seriously. And there was probably about 200 or so at this particular retreat. And they had an excellent keynote speaker, Bob Rice, who's excellent. And he was presenting and he was talking, and he mentioned about pornography. And he asked the group, and this was probably around 2004, you know, before smartphones, before cell phones were super common. And he asked the group of the kids, how many of you have a problem with pornography? And he said, I define a problem meaning that you believe it's wrong, you try not to do it, and yet you do it anyway. And at least a third of the boys raised their hand, which to me was absolutely shocking that if a third admit it, what's the real number? It became very apparent, and these were kids trying to take their faith seriously. And it just kind of, wow. And then a number of other teens that I was able to speak with more on a private basis, where they divulged the kind of their struggle with it, and realizing that this is a real crisis that is becoming in our culture. And so, as I began to go into the field of counseling, really wanted to make this an area that I was very competent and specialized in.
We're talking with Jonathan Chambly. He's a counselor with Central Psychological Services on the south side of Indianapolis. And we're talking about pornography addiction. Well, how is that exactly defined? What's considered an addiction, I guess, with pornography, or maybe in general?
Okay. Sure. There's different criteria for what we would classify as an addiction. But some real common ones. The first is a loss of control, that there's a behavior that you're doing that you don't want to do, and you can't seem to stop it. So you do it more than you intend or more than you want. The behavior becomes compulsive. There's a pattern to it being out of control. Efforts to stop have not worked. Oftentimes, we see people that they've tried to stop on their own, and they weren't able to. Another is a significant loss of time, and this is interesting because someone can realize I've been looking at my computer screen for the last 4 hours, and they may have only thought it was like 30 minutes or so. That's actually pretty common. There's a continuation despite consequences. Despite there being legal trouble or marital problems or feelings of shame or other consequences that are negative in their life. Also, it can tend to escalate, that you need more extreme forms of what you're looking at in order to get the same type of rush or dopamine fix for that. Outside of acting out, there can be a preoccupation, which can make it difficult to focus in other aspects of life. Sacrificing relationships, hobbies, other work, those kind of things in order to focus on the addiction. Also, if you were able to stop, or you had a limit on your access, almost feeling withdrawal symptoms from that can be sign for that. And those would be the kind of major criteria for what's pretty common for almost any kind of addiction.
Now, Jonathan, you're talking about pornography addiction. Is there such a thing as pornography without addiction?
That's a good question. My hunch is that there would not really be, in the sense that if it's not full-blown addiction now, if given enough time, it very well can become. Mm-hmm. It's real easy with especially any addictive substance, especially one that would have a social taboo such as porn. there can be a lot of shame that is present within the person because of it. So it can be real easy for the person to want to be in denial about it being mm-hmm. a problem. Mm-hmm. And it can become kind of difficult. So it's real easy for someone. I mean, how often do we hear of people that have like a drug addiction say, well, I can quit anytime, you know? There can be a little bit of that with the porn issue as well. The one criteria that I really like to think about is any type of addiction really reduces your sense of free will. It reduces mm-hmm. your power, your God-given ability of free will to be able to choose the direction of your life, that instead of you being in charge with God's grace of your life, instead a substance is in charge of your life. And in this particular case, it would be a substance of pornography.
Jonathan, I want to get to talking a little bit about the brain and the mapping of the brain and talk a little sure. bit about that. You sent me some images, and I'd like you to talk about those real quick.
Okay. Yeah, the images that I sent you was a couple of brain scans. There's a brain scan of a normal brain, and where you can kind of see that everything is kind of equally lit. There's some texturing, you might say, a little bit, but for the most part, everything's lit. And then a brain scan of a brain on heroin, and you see very specific parts of the brain that are not being used. It almost looks misshapen in a way. And then when you compare that brain scan with the brain scan of the brain on pornography, the brain on heroin and pornography look very similar as far as parts of the brain not being used. But what is particularly concerning is that the frontal lobes, which is where our intellect comes from, this is, you know, problem-solving area, those kind of things, for the brain on pornography, the frontal lobes have these enormous gaping holes, absolute huge gaping holes. And what this means is that part of the brain's area for understanding consequences, the brain's understanding for understanding what it's doing, is really offline. So the brain becomes very fixed on getting the substance, and the person is really prevented from seeing the full reality of what they're doing.
That's yeah. a big problem. Well, we need to take a quick break, and when we come back, sure. we're going to talk more about how to resolve this problem. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley's in the studio holding the fort down, right, during the pandemic. And we have Jonathan Chambly, counselor with Central Psychological Services in Indianapolis, a Catholic practice, and you can talk a little bit more about that. But we're talking about pornography addiction, and talk about dopamine and the chemicals that are produced in the brain and how that all works with pornography.
Sure. The brain chemical dopamine is largely responsible for motivation. It's often called the reward chemical, and to a degree it is, but it's actually a little bit more involved with motivating you to do something with the hope of a reward. So dopamine is released not so much when you attain a goal, but in anticipation that you would attain a goal. And that's really important to understand and how it impacts addiction. So, for example, gambling. You know, there's an addictive part to gambling. And if you win the jackpot, there's a certain amount of dopamine that's released. But if you miss the jackpot, say, by one number, there's a huge surge of dopamine released because you almost got it. And there's this enormous feeling that I'll get it next time. You know, for example, that's part of that rush. So what's real interesting about dopamine with the excitement with anticipation is how it compares with other substances. When you compare the amount of dopamine that's released with, say, food or nicotine or cocaine or some of those other substances there, there is a rise in the dopamine level, and then it drops down. Okay, so let's say that you go to a restaurant and you order something that looks like it's going to be amazing, and then you get the dessert or whatever, and it's good, but it may not necessarily be as good as you were expecting it would be, but you still eat it anyway. You know, the interesting thing, so what that the feeling that you have is kind of this rise in dopamine with anticipation of what you're about to receive, and then it begins to drop off after that. I can remember a time when I saw a donut in a little display and it had these happy little sprinkles all over it. And it was like, oh my gosh, it looks amazing. I've got to have that. And and I'm so excited about it. And once I start eating it, it was like, it didn't taste nearly as good as I thought it would be. But anyway, that's an example of where you've got all the dopamine that's motivating you to do something. And then, once you have it, the motivation isn't necessary anymore. And so it begins to fall down. What's interesting, though, about pornography is that the dopamine levels rise very high, and they maintain a steady high almost indefinitely. There was a five-hour study that was done where it showed essentially that the dopamine levels never really dropped. And part of the reason for that is when you're online and looking at pornography, there is always something more to click on. There's always more. There's always more possibility. There might be something more interesting, you know, right around the corner. And dopamine's released with anticipation. And so because there's always an anticipation that something even more interesting could be there, there is this continual surge of dopamine. So it is not uncommon for people to view porn for very long periods of time because they're getting a constant flow of dopamine.
That's a really
interesting. It just makes it a very addictive substance.
I can see that. I'm really glad you pointed that out. Now, has access to media and maybe new media really exacerbated the issue in terms of access?
Absolutely. Well, not only that, but of course the access to pornography is enormous. If you think about the way that our brains were designed, we were not designed for this. For a teenage brain to part of it to think that it has access to a harem anytime it wants. We just weren't designed to be able to handle that type of access. And so having this incredible, unlimited supply of access any time of the day at almost any age is absolutely tremendous. We weren't designed to be able to handle that type of temptation. In addition to that, though, some of the newer forms of social media have also contributed a lot. I know quite a few people that while kind of the gateway, if you will, for pornography for them has been social media. I frequently hear people say YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and some of the other aspects of social media as being a kind of their go-to for either quasi-porn or it's what they would go to kind of as a ritual behavior and then go to porn after that. So it has increased not just with availability, but also kind of that gateway into other things as well.
Now, Jonathan, I know for anyone to be cured of an addiction, they have to make changes themselves and have to make change in their lifestyle and things. But are there things that other people in the household, I'm thinking of parents or spouse, can do to help someone who might be addicted to porn?
Well, the first thing is to restrict access. And if you are a parent and you have teenagers, or you've got kids that are about to be teenagers, would really encourage an open and honest conversation about the dangers of pornography, the dangers of some aspects of social media. Social media can be a very good thing. I'm not suggesting that it's evil, but there are some responsibilities that need to go with that. There are some filtering systems. BARC, for example, can help monitor some aspects. And then there's I'm a big fan of Apple has actually done, in my opinion, a very good job within their screen time settings in order to restrict access, which I think are very good. And then Google, with what they call their Family Link, has also been a helpful resource there as well. So the first thing is if you can prevent the problem from ever happening, that is terrific. And then also help equip your kids so that what to do if they do encounter, because likely they will. Average age of exposure is age 8, which is very, very young. A lot of kids come across pornography simply by looking up stuff for their homework assignments, for example. It can be somewhat innocent, and then it can develop from there. I think the first thing to understand is pornography is an addictive substance. Just like heroin is addictive, pornography is addictive. We have an early exposure here, and it, especially with an earlier exposure, and if it becomes a habit during the adolescent days, the brain essentially wires itself to want and believe that this is what it's supposed to have.
We have about 4 minutes left, and I just want to make sure that we don't run out of time here, but go on with what you were saying. But my next question is going to be, how do people get out of it, if they are in it, and what kind of tips would you recommend other than prevention in terms of parents and that kind of thing?
Well, as far as how to get out of it, the first thing that somebody has to understand, and this may sound a little odd, is pornography isn't really what they want.
Right.
In the sense that they need to understand what pornography actually is, first of all. If the human person is created in the likeness and image of God, and that every person is called to be a son or daughter of God, then ultimately what pornography is the destruction and humiliation of what is good, true, and beautiful. And that can never be a truly interesting thing. So if they understand what it actually is, there's nothing attractive about it. There's nothing interesting about it when they understand what it actually is. The next thing is to understand what they really do want. What they really do want is a deep, impassioned relationship with Christ. With God, that they want a healthy marriage in the future. They want a healthy marriage now. For example, their own development and as a human person. Those are elements that they actually do want. And what's important here is to understand that what is good, true, and beautiful is actually quite exciting, because there can be this illusion that the instant gratification is exciting and a delayed gratification is boring, and it's actually the opposite. That the instant gratification is really a letdown. It's a sham. It's huge promises that fail to deliver, and yet the delayed gratification that God presents us with is actually good, true, beautiful, and worth living. So what I try to help people understand is pornography is a lie. We've been lied to.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a priest was talking about this, and he said that if the thing that Jesus would want you to know more than anything else is, I'm sorry that happened to you. That was never part of his original plan, that this should not have happened to you. And that as a child of God, God calls us into repentance, calls us into conversion. There is a physical side to this as well, a neurological side, which is why the brain slide is so important to understand, is that there's a brain chemistry that needs to change. There's a thought process that needs to change. That takes time, and that can take professional help. It really can. It can be tempting to over-spiritualize it, with one handle it on your own, one handle it through the sacrament of confession, and that can be very helpful. But what you can't do is, if that has not been solving the issue, if it's still present, then you need to take the next step and get outside help.
Well, you answered that next question that I had was, when does someone need to seek professional help? And then if you could give us a web page where people could seek that.
Okay. Well, certainly the three that I'm a particular fan of is the website for Covenant Eyes, Integrity Restored, and then one of my favorites is Cardinal Studios as well. They offer a lot of support and resources for help. And then, of course, our practice, Central Psychological Services. This is the area that I enjoy working in the most.
So go ahead.
Well, if there is one other thing that I would like to say, if you are struggling with this area, or you have a loved one who is struggling with this area, understand that there's a lot of shame that occurs with this. The different guilt is, I feel bad because I did something bad. Shame is, I did something bad because I am bad. And that there can be this deep, deep shame that can prevent someone from wanting to seek out help. It can also be very frustrating if you have a loved one who is going through this, of being very confused of why this is going on. Please understand there's a lot of deep shame that's there, and that the person needs to understand the love of Christ to help get them through this, and that the healing is possible.
Jonathan Chambly, counselor with Central Psychological Services in Indianapolis, thanks for being our guest today.
My pleasure.
God bless you.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.